Hey everybody, welcome to the Morphin Grid. I'm Josh.
And I'm Jake.
And today we're watching episode 400, Power Rangers Time Force, episode 22, Love Struck Rangers.
It aired. Let me go back to the thing. July 7th, 2001, written by Judd Lynn, Jackie Marchand, directed by Worth Keeter. 400.
400 now, episodes.
Now, that means it's our, probably closer to 460.
Probably.
I feel like we've done maybe 60 bonus episodes. That can't be right.
I mean, I can go on and count them.
That's a lot.
I'm not gonna right now, no. Obviously, but
we're in the at least high 430s, I would say.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah, I think so.
There's 400 proper episodes of the Morphin Grid. Let's see how this one goes. Real quick, if you're watching along, if you're new here, we do it's 400 episodes in. If you're new here, this is a weird place to start. At least start with Time Force so you get the whole story. But what we do is we pause the recording, we go watch an episode of Powers, we come back, we talk about it. You can follow along if you got Netflix or DVDs, and if you're following along on Netflix, you gotta go back an episode because they put them out of order on Netflix from what Wikipedia says and the air dates that they aired in. So we went with that, but also because the 400th episode being about racing wasn't, or being about a parking ticket wasn't as funny as the 400th episode being about Power Rangers falling in love for some reason.
Right.
When we looked at the descriptions. So that's why we did that. Also, I don't have an also.
Also, hope everyone's doing well.
Yeah.
I hope you guys are doing okay.
Oh, yeah. Hey, how are you doing, everybody? Oh, good.
Oh, yeah, nice. Yeah. Nice.
Or conversely, sorry to hear that.
It gets better.
It'll get better. You'll get through it. You gonna go watch Love Struck Rangers?
Yeah.
Time for Time Force. Time Force! Time Force! Power Rangers! Love Struck Rangers. I don't know why I put that stank on it. And it was
the one you've all been waiting for. Love Struck Rangers.
That's right. Is my hand warmer still pulled up?
I can't talk over that one because I wasn't talking.
Hey, JakeandJosh.com/MorphinGrid. That's the archive. That's our website. That's where our archives are. BT Dubs found out from Mr. Bibbs that the link on the website directs to .com/MorphinGrid/archive, okay. Which is like an old version that doesn't have turbo on it.
Okay. So you might need to update that. I think that. I moved it, and I probably just left the old one there.
Yeah.
Look, you guys.
So, got to fix that.
Look, I don't have a degree in this. I only have a certificate.
You got to look. That's,
be easy
doing,
on your boy.
Look, he just pointed out, just so we know.
I know. I'm just saying, give me a break.
Look, hey, you got plenty of breaks. You still got to put in space up. Half of it's fallen off.
Is it really that far?
Yeah.
I'll do that.
At least, I don't remember when it started. It's at like 71-ish.
They go up a lot faster now that I don't have to like save each episode photo and then upload each episode photo. I just have to put the name and number in.
I should get back to making those just so we can have them on the website.
Yeah, if you just make them and send them to me, I can just
plug them in.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll do that whenever I get some time in 2025.
And then everyone can see a real tiny version of a thumbnail. Picture.
Can you click on it and make it bigger? Way to do that?
I think you can right-click and view image.
Open in a new tab.
Because I put the full resolution in there. I don't make like a thumbnail size one, and I resize it in the code. So the full image is there.
It's okay.
The web page just shrinks it.
Just pushes it down
to
a little boy image.
Like I said, I have a certificate, so I'm not
useless. You know a little bit what you're doing. I was going to say something else. Oh, iTunes might destroy our podcast. So
they might throw us in the trash because we put numbers in the title. How dare we?
Which is wild because that means that 95% of all podcasts will be in contempt and thrown in the garbage. So
what a strange policy. That's such a retail policy of like we're doing it this way now for some reason.
It is absolutely a management decided they're doing this because they don't know who uses their service or shops at their store or works at their store, kind of thing. I think it's unenforceable, but we'll try to figure, we'll burn that bridge when we get to it. Push comes to shove, we will just hand email you the RSS feeds. Yep. So hey, here's the thing. If Apple eats our podcast, if Apple pushes our podcast together in a little ball and scrummies it down so no one can have it anymore, except unless you're on Stitcher or one of the 900 other podcatchers that we're on that I don't know about, and you're only on iTunes, you can manually put in feeds into iTunes. So just go to twitter.com/MorphinGrid, and we will make sure it's there. So if you don't have a Twitter and you don't follow us, but this goes away, that's the place to look. So hopefully it won't. I feel like it's an unenforceable policy.
I mean, I think it's fine. I don't know how long it's been in there, in like the terms or whatever.
Someone got emailed today is what I saw. We haven't gotten any email. So I don't know if they're only emailing people who are going to be violated. I don't know if our metadata tagging is good, which I don't do any of.
Well, if you don't do it, you can't mess it up.
Exactly. I don't know.
Maybe it's only like new podcasts.
That's what I'm hoping.
They're like, starting now, you can't do it. We're grandfathered in.
Yeah.
We have 400 plus episodes of this.
Well, that's what I was talking with Michael from Ranger Danger, and he's like, we can't do that, but we will if we have to, because they have like basically three different consecutive series that are going on at the same time.
Here's something that's real stupid. You cannot type in episode 01, right?
Yeah.
But you can type in episode 1, the word O-N-E. And
yeah,
that's fine because it's a word and not numbers.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
You can put them in Roman numerals, which maybe I'll start doing. That'll be real confusing. We'll look Greek, though, and it'll be fancy.
It'd be exotic.
Yeah. I don't know. iTunes just like trying to give me some anxiety today. But we're not going to have it because we watched the 400th episode of Power Rangers.
That's right. We're hyped.
Hyped. This is a Friday episode. This is a Monday episode. Sorry, this is a Monday episode.
Do I have to excavate some reviews?
Yeah. Hey, here's another cool thing. I looked at our reviews today I went to check today because I was on iTunes to see if we got et, and we didn't. We were still there. But there were no reviews. All of our ratings are still there. But there were no reviews anymore. Do you see reviews?
I do.
Okay. Maybe it's just my computer wasn't...
It does only say 69 ratings, but it has a review here. Gary Bingaman's is our still sponsored review, I guess.
Okay.
If I hit see all, they are here.
Okay, good. Do we have any new reviews?
We have one new review.
Oh, heck yeah.
From iTunes user Mr. Hoppadopoulos, all one word.
Okay.
Titled, The Perfect Show for a Ranger Fan, and it is 5 stars.
5!
If you like looking back at your childhood and laughing at it, then this is for you. If you like looking back on your childhood and investigating why you enjoyed certain things, this is for you. A perfect blend of criticism and praise I would recommend to any Power Rangers fan who watched past the first 3 seasons. But I wish I could find the Turbo In Space episodes. They aren't in Classic, and I don't see them on their website.
That's because on the website, it goes to a archived version.
Yes.
See, it's immediately apparent that we need to fix that.
I will fix that link. That should be a quick fix.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hoppadopoulos. BT Dubs, great name.
Very good.
So, yeah, I like to think that we try to praise and criticize when is fair.
Yes. So if you are listening to this, Mr., for on a first name basis... go to heyjakeandjosh.com/MorphinGrid and you'll be able to find Turbo and In Space on there. Not In Space, but In Space will be on there.
In Space should be on there soon, we hope. We do got an email from Gavin. Gavin says, hey guys, loving the podcast. I've been watching Time Ranger along with Time Force. And the short of it is they are exactly the same show, except the Time Ranger has a male Yellow Ranger and has subtitles. That's probably good. In Time Ranger, the company who hires themselves out are called the City Guardians, hence the hat that says CGD. Yeah, that's what Brendan said. They were City Guardians. And then yeah. He says, I'm guessing the D means department, which makes sense. Anyway, loving the show. Keep up the good work. Gavin from Stevenage, England.
Oh, nice.
Stevenage? Stevenage, England. Stavanger, England. Which Pokemon town is this?
I don't know. We haven't got town names yet, I don't think.
We haven't. Probably for the best. Our second email and last email for the day is from Jordan. Jordan says, "Hey, Jake and Josh, I have been listening to you guys for years. My son, who is a recent Power Rangers fan, also loves to listen with me. I find you two insanely listenable, from the dichotomy between you two to the references. There have been countless times you've made me laugh out loud. I would love to rate the show somewhere, but I am a lowly Android user and use Google Podcasts to listen. However, if I could, I would give you guys at least 12 stars. Whoa!
That's a lot of stars.
That's a lot of stars.
And say also, that, good to know that someone can listen to us through Google Podcasts.
Yeah, yes. And say that everything you do is fantastic, and I'm going to start giving through Patreon as soon as humanly possible. But hey, no rush.
Yeah.
Appreciate it, though.
It's rough out there. We get it.
I sincerely appreciate the hours of entertainment and look forward to more. Thanks again, Jordan." Thank you very much, Jordan. Sorry if you are listening with your son. Hopefully, he is of an age where bleeping out cusses is funny and not that I should feel weird about cussing on the show, which we try not to, but a bleeped out cuss is maybe the funniest thing in the world to me.
Yeah.
And we use putty noises.
I feel like we've been doing it maybe a little more and more as we've been going here.
Lost Galaxy was maybe our bluest season.
Yeah, I do want to apologize for the dog references in the past.
Lightspeed, yeah, there's a lot of that.
Again, hope they are at an age where the stuff is funny and not uncouth.
Yeah, so either way, thank you very much. We're going to take those 12 stars. We're going to send them to...
We're going to bank a few. We'll keep five. We're going to bank some so we can bump up some of the other
reviews.
Yeah,
we got I think we got one star, which seems like someone just being like, "I don't know what this podcast is." Because, like, do you know how, like, far out of your way you got to go to rate a podcast one star?
Pretty far.
Anyway, thank you very much, Jordan. Do you want to talk about Power Rangers, episode 400, Lovestruck Rangers now?
Let's do it.
We start off on Katie coming to the clock tower. She's got a box of coffee, by which I mean a box with coffee cups in it. It's like a tray.
Like to-go coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's not like a boxed wine, but full of coffee.
Yeah, which Dunkin' Donuts does have.
They do sell those.
You can get that from Dunk's. She hands them out. Jen's on the phone. She hangs up. She's like, "All right, here's everybody's assignments." Hands out a couple slips. You go do this, you do this, you do this. She does not hand one to herself, though. And Wes is like, "Hey, what are you going to be doing?" She's like, "Well, someone has to answer the phones." He's like, "Well, why do you get to answer the phones?" We don't get an answer. We cut away. Wes just wonders.
She's the boss.
Because she's the only one here who's, like, on top of everything.
Yeah.
Katie's close. I also don't know what Katie's doing. Katie didn't seem to get an assignment. Or we just didn't see it because she didn't get hit on.
That's true, yeah.
Though
Katie's kind of an afterthought this episode.
Yeah, I mean, she's there.
She's there, but...
They should just let Katie get hit on by the Angelique, too.
Yeah.
I think. But it's 2001, and they don't even let you kiss. They're not going to let two girls make eyes at each other.
I mean, they must have the footage of it if it's a boy Yellow Ranger.
I'm assuming so, because at the end, it's mostly Jen. Like, it's just Pink doing the work, and I don't think Yellow was included in that. I don't know if anyone, Gavin or anyone, if you're watching Time Ranger, what's the other episode like? Because they could have done what's right, but said they're cowards. Anyway, we cut to Lucas at a car wash. Here's the weird thing. It's like we're raising money for our senior trip car wash kind of thing. Like, it's in a parking lot, and there's like other people.
They needed to outsource one window squeegee.
Yeah, they need one squeeger, and they got they got Lucas, and he's squeegeeing. And then this girl is in a car, a very fancy car. It's so fancy, the engine's in the back, which might just mean it's European, but I don't think so.
I don't know if they still are, but I think Beetles used to be the same way.
I think so.
That just seems dangerous.
Well, yeah, if
you're
rear-ended,
more likely to get hit
yeah.
from the back.
I don't know. It's a whole thing with weight, and so, like, performance cars usually have it in the back sometimes, but usually sometimes. That makes sense, Jake. So she's like, "Ah," and she goes up to the front and just starts, like, touching it. And Lucas, she gets out.
Like, it's like she's doing CPR on the hood because she's at like the driver's side hinge that the hood would open on. And she's just pushing it in like, oh, this thing won't pop open like one of those fancy drawers you push in and then it slides out. But it is a fancy car, so maybe it's supposed to work that way.
Maybe.
I don't know. This car is way out of my pay grade.
Yeah, for sure. Here's the thing. She gets out. She's wearing leather pants and a leather halter top. She is dressed a little too sexy for a children's program, I think.
But it's okay.
Because Lucas is horny.
Well, because Lucas is horny, and we'll find out in a minute that she's a villain.
That's true. I thought they were going to try to be subtle with it, but I remembered we're watching Power Rangers.
Yeah, it's pretty blatant.
So she's like, oh, this won't start. And he's like, oh, well, the trunk is in the back, or the trunk is not in the back, the engine's in the back.
You're trying to open the trunk.
You're trying to open the boot.
Imagine your surprise when you open that and there's no engine in there.
Yeah. Can you imagine? You don't know the trunk and the engine have switched, and you're like, oh, pop the hood. Ah!
How does it even run?
How does it go? So he pops open the boot. I don't know what else to call it. He pops open the hood, but it's in the back.
Right, it's the butt flap on pajamas. Yeah.
So he opens up the car butt flap, and he, like, reaches in there and just mucks around with some stuff. And he's like, there, I fixed it. And so she starts it up. She's like, yeah. He's like, this is a good car. She's like, I love fast cars the most. And he's like, oh, I used to be a race car driver. And they make eyes at each other. And she holds her hand out. She's like, I'm Angelique, which saves me the trouble of making a human name for her. And so he takes her hand and her evil snake bracelet.
It's literally Jafar's staff, but a bracelet. Yeah.
This is something that a bad guy would have in the Assassin's Creed game I'm playing right now. And it like pulses and shoots him in the eyes, and he's like love struck from it. I was hoping it would be more subtle and it would be like, I'm Angelique, and he just takes her hand and we don't really get the bracelet, but like something happens. And
but, then, like, yeah, touching her somehow casts the spell.
But then we go over to Frax, who's like, perfect. And then we go to the theme song. He doesn't pop his head. He just makes excited noises. I'm Waluigi the robot. I'm Robo-Weegee. Well, that would be a robot, Luigi. Wow, Robo-Weegee. We come back from the theme song. Trip is washing different windows. He's at like an office building and he's doing big squeegees on an office window. And a little robot runs into his foot, like comes whipping around the corner, hits him in the foot. And he's like, hey, whoa, hey there, buddy. Where'd you come from? And then a girl comes around the corner and she's like nerdy because her hair's in braids and she's got glasses and a lanyard.
Big glasses and maybe also a hat.
She's got a bucket hat on and she's in like a sweater? I don't know.
She's dressed...
She's not in leather pants, that's for damn sure.
Yeah, she's dressed frumpier for sure.
Yeah, she's still, like, perfectly cute.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's just, they're like, we'll hire a very attractive lady and we'll nerd her up by putting her hair in braids and making... It's that or a ponytail, and we had to give her a bucket hat to match Trip, because he likes a bucket hat, too. Obviously. She's like, oh, sorry, his servos are weird. I'm still working out the kinks. And he's like, you made this? And she's like, yeah, I love robots. I think robots is the greatest form of science. And he's like, whoa. And she's like, oh, sorry, I must sound really geeky. And he's like, no, I think you sounded interesting. Which is not how anyone should say that, I don't think.
No, you don't ever want to tell your date, wow, you sound interesting.
You sound interesting. I say that to people when I'm being facetious.
Yeah.
That's the same thing as you must be great at parties. You sound interesting. But then she's like, oh, thanks. And then he's like, I made a robot. I think I don't really remember this, but she's like, you'll have to show me your robot. And I don't remember.
Yeah, he might even say robots. I don't know.
I also did do machines.
Did he make Circuit?
I feel like a little bit. Yeah. She bracelets him. She's like, I'm nobody. She doesn't actually say her name at all. And she's like, cool, we'll meet up later, and leaves. And doesn't give him her name or any information at all.
Yeah, just, oh, you'll have to show me your robots later. Bye.
Bye.
and he's then, like, yeah, totally will. I could just read your thoughts so I know where to meet you, I guess.
You know, that actually does make sense, but that should throw up a red flag of his own.
There's a lot of red flags that should be thrown up this episode that just kind of get walked over until the end.
Yeah. So she leaves and she goes over and Frax is there and he's like, "Wow, you're a bad guy." And she's like, "Yes, I am. Ha 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 ha." And then turns and into like, her monster form.
Stands straight up and throws her arms like down into the side.
As if she is like, "Welcome to my congregation."
Yes, and she goes, "Ha ha ha." And she turns into a giant cleavage monster.
Her monster boobs are approaching Banshira levels.
Yeah.
There is no face eyelash corset. They're just kind of out in the wild, and she does have an eyeball right under, like, where her solar plexus is, or her sternum, I guess, just framing her giant monster boobs.
Yeah.
So, for kids. We cut from there to the clock tower. Lucas is doing his hair, by which I mean he dips his fingers into hair gel as if you are getting some salsa, or as if you went to get some salsa on a chip and the chip broke off and you got to go back in and get that chip. You got salsa all over your fingies. That's him, but hair gel.
He's got a whole glob of this stuff.
He's got a full tablespoon of hair gel.
And he's just like using it like a gel ball and just like dabbing just it into his hair a little
just
bit.
Just lightly touching the hair.
Because I guess he wants his hair to kill his date if it goes badly.
Yes. It's also a defense mechanism. Yeah. Katie's like, "You think you got enough hair gel, bud?" And takes the hair gel vat.
It's like a bucket. It's like a Sam's Club hair gel bucket.
This is a family-sized bucket of hair gel. And he's like, "Give me that. I need it.
I need it for my date tonight.
I need it for my hair. For my date." And she's like, "Oh, you have a date?" And he's like, "Yeah, she's perfect. She likes fast cars and is pretty." The two qualities that he needs in a woman.
That's all you need is if they're pretty and they like one thing that you like.
I think that's about right. Like, for a first date, it's like, are you attracted to them? Do you have at least one thing in common that you can talk about?
Yeah.
That's probably enough. I don't think Lucas means it in that way at all.
No, he means literally that's all I need.
He's like, that's it.
I hope she doesn't try to talk about anything except fast cars.
I don't even need the fast cars part, if I'm being honest. But then Trip comes in like a zombie, dragging a hose or a belt or a squeegee.
I think it might be a squeegee. Or like a mop and bucket, because he also was squeegeeing a window.
He was squeegeeing a window, but I thought it was like a rope-like thing. I thought he had like just a big belt, but maybe it was the squeegee or a mop.
It's something from the job, I'm sure.
He comes shuffling in, just lets go of it, doesn't drop it, lets go of the thing he has, and then walks over and sits down on the desk. Also, Lucas got her flowers and a Valentine's heart candy box.
This is like a thing in cartoons and TV shows, is like they always have a heart-shaped box of chocolates for first dates.
Where did you find that?
Yeah, where do you get those out of season?
Because they don't go to stores that, maybe in 2000 they did, but they do not anymore. Literally, the 15th, that stuff is all pushed into one aisle and we start setting Easter.
Yep.
Which, if I can be completely honest, in terms of aesthetics alone, Easter is 100 million times better than Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Also, better candy.
Yep, egg-shaped candy is
the best tasting candy.
Is the best.
Also, the Lindt hazelnut little bug boys. Oh, when those go on sale.
Bug boys?
It's like a little egg, but the tinfoil looks like a bug. It's like a happy bee or a happy ladybug.
Yeah.
When those go on sale, I literally buy as many as I can hold because they are the greatest.
Reese's eggs are the top tier Reese's product.
Yeah, it's the perfect chocolate to peanut butter ratio. I love a Reese's cup, like, of both sizes, but I think the egg is just, I think they use different peanut butter texture too.
I think so.
But it's like, oh, that's it.
Because they also like the Christmas trees, but they're not as good as the eggs. There's something about those eggs.
Well, it's the same thing with the Little Debbie snack cakes. Like the zebra cakes are functionally exactly the same from the Christmas tree cakes, but I will fight to the death over the Christmas tree cakes are better.
That's fair.
I wait all year for Christmas tree cakes. I don't give a fuck about zebra cakes. Anyway, so Jen's like, haha, something, something dentist, and takes a bite of the candy. He's like, give me that. Now there's going to be one missing. I look like a fool. And then Chirp comes in. And he's like, oh.
Yeah, put that one you took a bite out of back in the
put
box
in there.
For Angelique.
And so Chirp comes in. He sits down. He's like, oh.
He grabs Lucas's bouquet of flowers. And he's just like staring into them.
He just sits there with them, looking at them. Then he says like, oh, I met the most perfect girl. And they're like, what? You met a girl? And he's like, yeah.
This should be a red flag. This is one of the red flags I was talking about. Not that it's Trip met a girl. That's fine. I believe Trip can meet a girl.
Yeah.
But that Trip and Lucas both met, like, the perfect girl within an hour of each
that
other.
That does seem too convenient.
Yeah.
And I think if Wes would have come in now saying that he also found one, met the perfect girl, then that would have tripped it, but we save Wes for a minute from now.
Yeah.
Wes is a good boy, and I love him very much. So he's like, yeah, it's so great. And then Lucas is like, yeah, heck yeah, man, go for it. Like, congratulations. He leaves to go.
He rips his flowers back.
Gives his flowers back, and he goes. And then Kay's like, I guess love is in the air. Cut to Wes mowing a lawn of a soccer field. Like, outside a baseball diamond or something.
He's definitely outside of tennis courts.
Yeah.
I think it might just be
Wellington Park in Ridge, New Hampshire.
It could just be a park. It's also Fisher Hill Park in Athol, Massachusetts.
Yeah, so if you're ever looking for somewhere to have some sporty fun, those two places.
The tennis courts and the basketball courts are the same.
Well, yeah.
So you have to pick one or the other.
You can only play one a day, yeah. Yeah. So a tennis ball land. Oh, by the way, this mower is one of those old push mowers that is like not motorized. It's got the rotating blades and it sucks.
Yeah, I still don't know functionally how those work.
So the blades are curved and they are like spiraling. So when it pushes forward, they come down at an angle.
But you'd have to push that so fast. Are there, like, even if they're sharp, they're still just going to...
Yeah,
push
the grass. You gotta be moving, yeah, or else it'll just bend the grass and not cut it. And hopefully it's very sharp, but they aren't anymore. There's a reason we have new...
Well, they haven't made a new one since, like the 60s?
Something like that. And now they don't even, like a lawnmower doesn't actually have blades on it. It's got, like, plastic whipping lines.
Yeah, like a weed whacker does.
Yeah, that's what's under a lawnmower now. So a tennis ball lands, he goes, whoa, and stops. And then a girl comes up, and wouldn't you know it, it's Sporty Spice version Angelique. And she's like, oh, thank you so much. He's like, yeah, here you go, here's a tennis ball. She's like, how can I ever repay you? He's like, you can move, I gotta mow the grass.
So she's already been Posh Spice, and then she was Baby Spice.
Yep.
And now she's Sporty Spice.
And if she would have met with Katie, Ginger Spice.
Yeah.
Maybe Scary Spice. I don't know what Katie's into. Hard to tell.
It is hard to tell.
Haven't really got a lot of Katie.
She's strong and worried about the future that she came from.
That she knows she can affect and change and ruin and completely change forever. He says, like, you know, I'm good, thanks. She's like, oh, I hope I can repay you. There's this great Italian beast. She's like, hey, actually, I'm kind of interested in a girl, so like, I can see what you're putting down, and I'm good. And she's like, ugh, and walks away, and then turns around and points at him with her snake bracelet and shoots love beams at him.
That sucks, right?
Yeah.
Like, she couldn't even force a way for him to look into it. She can just shoot them with it.
Why didn't she start that way?
Yeah. Why go through the whole thing? Just shoot them with it and then walk by and be like, oh.
Hi, here's my butt. What's up? Like, so then he's like, you know what? Actually, forget that. I definitely want to go out with you.
And yeah, I must be stupid.
Cut to the clock tower. Jen and Katie are coming down the stairs. No, they're not coming down the stairs. They're coming up the stairs. And they say, Katie says, and I quote, I can't believe Trip and Lucas are dating. Congrats, boys. Glad you found each other. Then Wes comes down the stairs. And he's like fancied up. He's in like a suit jacket and a tie. And he's like, you'll never guess what happened. And they're like, well, you met a girl? And he's like, yeah, actually, I did. And you can see Jen's face just turn to stone. And he's like, yeah. He's like, oh, that's so weird. He's like, yeah, I'm going out with her right now.
I wish it was a little more like, that's fishy, and a little less like, what do you mean you found a girl?
Yeah, I think
It's kind of in the middle.
Yeah, I think I'm okay with it because it is like playing off the emotion. Because like you know that like if this would have happened in reverse, then she would have been like, oh, okay, it's a so this is suspect. But because like Wes is the fresh one, she's like, oh no.
Right.
So I think I'm okay with it because of that. We cut to Angelique at this Italian bistro, and her hair is like snakes a little bit.
It's very curly and it's up in a like a loose pony, so it's kind of falling down over the sides of her head.
Like, it's like 90s prom hair.
Yeah, very snake-esque.
Yeah. In My Hero Academia, the pro hero that Kendo and Momo do their internship with, Uwabumi, has snakes for hair that are like this.
Okay.
Like, this is just like this. So that's what Emilio was like, oh, that's just like what you do for snake hair, I guess. Because they did that in My Hero Academia.
I think it's more just supposed to be 2001 formal hair.
It definitely looks like prom hair.
Yeah.
Like, straight up. And so then, wouldn't you know it, all three of them are there, and they start arguing. Womp womp.
Lucas and Trip are in their regular clothes. And Lucas always looks pretty nice. His regular clothes are pretty nice. Trip looks like a 13-year-old boy. He dresses like a 13-year-old boy.
He dresses like a boy on a field trip because he always has a backpack on. And his backpack, I noticed, doesn't sit right on him. Like, it sits high, so like the shoulder strap comes off the shoulder, and I don't know how.
You can loosen that strap up. Sag that bag down a little
bit. Let that bag sag a little bit, Trip.
But Wes is in a suit.
Yeah.
He's dressed to the nines.
He comes from money. money.
And they all see each other and rush the table.
Yeah. And so upside, they are under a spell. So the reason they don't ask the obvious question, which is, Angelique, this is not cool. Why did you do this? Is because they're under a love spell. So they start like arguing. And then at one point they're like, well, which one do you like better? And she's like, oh, I can't choose.
I don't know. I guess you'll have to fight to the death for it.
Death for my affections. Cut over to Frax hiding in the bushes. You know, a big golden robot just casually near a bush being Frax. And he's like, Rantic, we're good to go. Cut to an explosion.
The middle of an explosion.
I thought he self-destructed or blew up the Power Rangers in the bistro. Neither happened. We're downtown, and Rancic and Nadira are on a daddy-daughter outing, blowing up the city. And it's pretty great. Because I was like, oh, we're going to get to see Rancic fight.
Yeah, I want to see that so much more. It's been so long since he's been out of that prison.
And he's so good.
He's very good.
He's so good at it. So the girls come in. The boys are arguing. And let me back up. The girls get called. They're like, tell the boys to meet us there. So Circuit calls Wes, who gets beefed, walks over, and Circuit's like, the girls need you downtown. He's like, we busy, and hangs up. And then cut to the girls pulling up, and Rance is like, oh, girl power, I'm not afraid of that, which is like, whatever. It's not great, but it's,
right,
it's 2001, he's a villain, it's fine. Then they fight, and Rancic rules at fighting. At one point, he shoots an arm blade out of his elbow and just starts, I think it's the first thing he does.
Yeah, because he's just fist fighting them at first with this blade out.
Yeah.
I don't know if he hits.
He definitely does at some point, because next time we see them, they are injured.
He definitely hits Katie with it. I don't know if he hits Jen with the blade, but he definitely kicks her butt.
Yeah. He pulls his knee sword out. They keep fighting. And then he goes to kill them, or one of them, and he does and then starts screaming, and then Nadira runs up, and they're like, we gotta go. And
Nadira runs up with the serum, and is like, here, Daddy, here's your serum, drink this. And the Rangers are like, we can't let him drink that, and they shoot it out of his hand.
It's like, oh, we need to go back.
And that's why they need to leave.
Right.
Because he needs to get some serum.
So they dip back. Do we see that? No, that's in a second. So we cut from there to the clock tower, where the girls are both, like, scuffed and injured. And the boys are, like, sitting on the bench, getting, like, a dressing down. Jen's like, where the fuck were you? Why weren't you there? And they're like, well, it was a girl. It was the same one. And she's like, over a girl? That's ridiculous. We are Time Force Rangers. I just love how, like, business she is right now.
Yeah.
And then we Wes is like, you know what? You're right. Jen, we'll never see her again. And then it slowly pans down, and Wes got his fingers crossed.
Yes, he makes Trip and Lucas both agree. Yes, we'll never see her again.
Yes.
And he gets this smug look on his face. He like looks away from them, and he's like...
He gets a look on his face like he just ate 11 jelly donuts.
Before anybody noticed.
Yeah.
And now he's going for number 12.
Not yet. Then we cut to Rantic pouring a watered down squeeze it down his gullet all over his face, getting his serum. He's like, ah, I'm good now.
I feel like it took longer because the metal's just like oozing out of his skin.
Yeah.
And I feel like it took longer this time for it to go back. And I don't know if that's an intentional choice.
I don't know. Maybe it's because it took him longer to get serum.
Maybe.
So it had to like work its way through him. And that took longer, I think. I don't know. It might have just been like a tech issue.
Yeah.
So then we cut to the next day, I think, or maybe it's later that day, because Jen gets a phone call saying Wes never went back to finish his odd job. And she calls it an odd job, no matter what. It's not a job. It's an odd job. Katie's there, and she's like, Wes never went back to do his odd job. And Katie's like, oh, I hope everything's all right. She's like, yeah, I'm going to go figure out what's going on. And then...
She does tell Katie to check on the other two.
Yeah.
I don't know if she ever does that.
I think maybe, but then also maybe not, because in a second we'll see what happened with them too. Cut to Wes. He's with Angelique. They're just holding hands, walking around. And then...
And of course she's like, oh, I like you the best.
Yeah.
Because you're the one right here with me right now.
And Jen is hiding in the bushes. It's like, oh, that rat Fink. And then she's like, wait a minute. Something's weird about this. And then Circuit calls her and is like, Jen, there's some mutant DNA like right next to you. And she's like, what? So she hits her earring, and she's got the scanning Oakleys, pops out of her ears. They just materialize, and she scans, and she does a scan of Angelique, and she got a monster in her. She got gross underbones.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's a well done effect, because like it looks like it fades from one to the next very cleanly.
Why don't you just have those on all the time?
Well, because you'd look stupid.
So this confirms then that mutants can just do this.
At least
they have special glasses to like sniff them out with.
Yeah, that's in the first episode.
Yeah.
That's saying something about how mutants could just live among us but shouldn't have to. There's a whole thing there. Again, I'm not smart enough. Better people than I can have takes on this.
Do you think Angelique likes bananas and ketchup, or would she rather have mustard on hers?
I feel like she's more of a mustard on apples kind of girl.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What's the worst? Like,
I don't know, maybe like...
Strawberries dipped in relish?
I was thinking like a watermelon slathered with mayonnaise.
Ooh, that's pretty bad. Barbecue sauce on strawberries? Depending on the barbecue sauce, that might be all right, though.
Maybe.
Barbecue sauce is the least offensive condiment, in my opinion. She likes that balsamic vinaigrette on cherries, which, again, actually, that might be okay.
Balsamic vinaigrette is usually used in
fruitier
salad. Like a fruitier salad, yeah.
So she wants that ranch. She wants strawberries and ranch.
She wants those cold ranch blueberries.
Yeah. Eat it with a spoon. Hey, sorry that all the listeners left, because we talked about gross food combinations. So she runs after them, but they get in a car and drive away, and she doesn't catch them. Then we cut back to the clock tower, and she's over the computer with the Circuit, and she's like, oh, pull up her profile. And she's like, oh, her name is Contemptra. I guess she's just like women monsters. That's the one it looked like. So she's like, oh, that's great. Wes is mind controlled. That's great. And Circuit's like, what? And she's like, I mean, that's terrible that he's been mind controlled. Ah, darn.
But he doesn't actually love her, so that's great.
So, back, baby. Cut back.
I like that slip up. I think what I meant earlier is that I would have liked if there was just a little bit of the drama of her being like, Wes, she is a mutant, and him being like, oh, you're just jealous because I'm dating somebody.
Yeah. But maybe at the same time...
Like, that is a tale as old as time.
That's how
that
it always goes,
been told a thousand times.
So, maybe they just wanted to avoid that this time.
Yeah.
Either way, cut back to the boys. They are, well, Wes and Angelique are there. The other two come up and they're like, hey, I thought you weren't going to meet her. And Wes is like, yeah, you weren't supposed to either. So what are you two doing here? Then they start fighting because they get braceleted again and it turns their eyes red. Now it's time for Mortal Kombat.
Literally, Jafar's staff does this.
Yeah.
Just mind controls them and makes their eyes red.
Yep. Same thing.
And is a big snake.
Yeah. Someone loved them in Aladdin. She turns back into Contemptra and is just like, yes, fight for my affections. So they morph as they're fighting. They're fighting. Then Jen and Katie come in and they fight for a second. This is American footage. And then they shoot the bracelet off. And then that turns it into Sentai footage. But what is notable is that Jen is separated.
Yeah.
So once we're in Sentai footage, it's like all the boys. Because, again, Yellow is a guy in the Sentai. It's like they're all after her. I think they should have just also had Katie get in on this. Give her something to do.
Yeah.
Because she just does nothing except like be Jen's like sidekick for some of this episode.
Right.
So then she's like, well, now I'm going to destroy them. And she starts shooting them with lasers. And Jen's like, well, I'm going to destroy you. And goes ham on Contemptra. Cuts her snake hair off. It's pretty brutal.
Yeah, she does a time spin and just cuts all her tentacle snake hairs.
Yeah, it's kind of wild. Then they vortex blast her and she picks her scab and she grows. So they call their Zords. And Circuit's like, yeah, the Zords are coming. And a time shadow's right behind it. And it's like, okay, thanks. We would have known when it goes dark. But thank you, Circuit. Eric does not appear. Q-Rex does not appear. I feel like this is an earlier episode.
It does make sense, though. I was thinking about this. Because Contemptra never attacked a place, really.
Right,
and
yeah.
So there's no reason for the Silver Guardians to show up. Therefore, there's no reason for Eric to be here.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe downtown they could have had him in when Ransic and Nadir were there. But, I mean, it really didn't call for him. So.
Right. And then if we would have had that, then they'd have to be like, why didn't the Q-Rex come to help? So, right. I guess it makes sense. But, yeah, that's actually a really good reason. Yeah. Like, she didn't attack anybody except for Power Rangers.
He didn't get hired to save anyone.
That's true. Trip ain't paying for that. So they do a little Zord fight. They eventually jump in the snowsuit, throw some laser nets, do a time strike. They kill her. I just have a joke written down, midnight to six. Because they lose their affection for her.
Yes, they definitely rhymes with affection.
Yeah. Yep. And then also because the slash goes down.
Right.
I don't know. It's more of a, I'm just going to say a joke out loud and not really like tell a joke kind of thing. So then we cut back to the clock tower where Jen is answering a phone and Wes comes in. He's like, all right, all done. She's like, well, it's about time. And he's like, hey, I got a question. Why'd you go so hard on Contemptra? And she's like, I did. I went regular amount on hers. And he's like, no, I think this was personal. I think you took this one real personally. And she's like, I don't know what you mean. He's like, well, I mean, I don't know what the segue is. But she's like, yeah, in her human form, she was a real babe. Which he says, like, that's like the words that he says.
Yeah.
And she's like, that's your type? He's like, no, gotcha. Ha ha, I'm just kidding. And he's coming around to the other side of the little island, the counter.
Yeah.
And he's like, actually, my type is... And they're just like looking at each other.
And there's like a lot of back and forth shots of them kind of like just leaning in a little bit.
They're so close. They're about to kiss. And the phone rings. And who's on the phone? It's Papa Heim. And he says, no kisses.
I got an odd job for you. $100. Don't kiss.
So you know how we make this joke about how Papa Heim, if you're in the know, hates kisses on Power Rangers? I saw a thing today.
Oh, no.
The yellow Power Ranger from Ninja Steel and the white Power Ranger from Ninja Steel are dating. They are canonically dating in Power Rangers. And the yellow ranger tweeted, and he said something to the effect of, here's the kiss that we tried to get into the last episode of Ninja Steel that Saban would not allow. It is a literal, like, one, like, their lips barely touch, and then it's a 1 second, it's blink and you miss it. Papa Heim was like, no kisses for life on this show. Then the second tweet, a follow-up tweet to that one, same guy. I think his name's Nico or Nick. I don't really remember. I just saw it on the Morphin Grid feed. It's a different angle because even the director of the episode was like, yeah, there should be a kiss here. Like, let's just get a... And, like, the director right. also was invested in getting this on air. So they did a whole separate camera setup so that instead of it being, like they are face-to-face and the camera's, like, next to him, like, real close,
yeah,
it was far away behind her. So you didn't even see kiss. You just saw their faces go... They could have just been, like, bumping noses...
Just like that
quick.
One scene from Pokemon Let's Go where your rival brushes your hair or gets very close to you.
Yeah, well, then it fades to, yeah. to black and comes back because you're like, whoa, I just got kissed real
hard. If you listen real close, you can hear the little...
Because he gives you a kiss.
He definitely kisses you.
Oh, for
before
sure.
Before you hit the underground tunnel to Vermillion.
Yeah, it revives, it heals your Pokemon.
Yeah, and like while he's kissing you, he just like brushes your hair. He's like, oh, I found a revive,
he's a revive.
In your hair.
Smooth,
while we were making out.
Smooth, boy. But yeah, so like apparently 15 years later, sorry, not 15, this is 2001, 17 years later, 18 years later, an adult later, Papa Heim still has a no kissing rule.
People born when this episode came out
still can't kiss if they're Power
Rangers.
They
can vote now, but they can't kiss on Power Rangers. That reminds me of... Because I've been listening to Goosebuds. I'm caught up on it, but a new episode just dropped out.
Is that still going?
Yeah.
Did,
It's basically monthly now.
Okay.
But there was just... They just read this thing, or there was like a masterclass for R.L. Stine that you could pay for, because masterclass is like a website where you can pay and get like a video or something.
It's like you get video series on a thing from like a person in that field, but like an actual like... famous, well-known, like, successful person in that field.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool, but, like, at the same time, I don't have that kind of money.
And he says, like, I write my books for 7 to 12-year-olds because at 13, that's when they learn about sex. And it sparked this, like, whole conversation of, like, you can write to children, but don't treat them like they're stupid.
Yeah. That is the like... A hallmark of good children's television, I think.
And, like, Goosebumps books are very bad. That's, like, the theme of their show. They drag R.L. a lot on that show.
Yeah.
And it's, like, definitely earned by him that they do that.
Yeah.
Because his books are usually pretty bad. There's a couple good ones, but it's, like, the same situation between him and Heim. It's, like, no, little kids can't see that because they're dumb. And
they don't understand it. They
even
don't
though,
know.
Like, they see people kiss all the time.
People kiss. It happens.
Kids see kisses all the time. And it's not like, I mean, they're teenagers on Power Rangers. It's not like they're dry humping or anything. They're just trying to have a kiss.
Yeah. It's so weird. But yeah, like good kids television, I think, doesn't treat kids like kids. It treats kids like people who will someday be adults.
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, we're not going to dumb this down for you because we trust that you, if you don't understand it, you will try to understand it, you know?
Yeah.
But R.L. Stine is like, no.
No.
Under no circumstances. And Papa Heim is like, if you kiss, I will fire you. No, cut that out.
I'll fire you on the last episode of this show.
Anyway, that's the end of the episode. It ends on no kisses. Josh, you started.
Oh, I did, yeah.
I get to pick the best. I'm going to say the best is the belligerent sexual tension at the end. What was yours?
Wes saying no thank you. You're very pretty, but no thank you.
That is also really good.
Yeah.
The worst is Lucas dipping his fingers into hair gel and gently touching his hair with it.
So much hair gel.
It's a gross amount of hair gel.
My worst is that Contemptra can just shoot her powers at you, but chooses not to.
I'm going to change mine to that, too, because what a cop-out.
Yeah.
What a cop-out. MVP is... I kind of want to say Wes for being like, no, I'm into a girl. No, thank you. But I also want to say Jen, because she did a lot.
I'm leaning towards Jen.
But I also want to say Rancic. I don't think I'm going to go with Jen.
Mm. I don't want to say Rancid because he did only show up to teleport away.
But he did a good fight in between.
He did do a good fight, but none of that
no, you're right.
was anything. Yeah. You know what I mean?
So yeah, I'm going to go with Jen.
Yeah.
Now we got to rank it. So the last episode was the last race. That's sitting pretty at number 8.
Yeah.
I think I like that episode better than this one.
I think so too.
Because I really like Dash and like that whole
yeah
thing. Below that is Trust and Triumph, where they had to go into one had to go into VR bubble and one had to stay outside and they had to shoot and there was evil Power Rangers who were just killing machines. I think I like this better than that one.
I don't know if I like this better.
I could be talked down though.
Just because that one had a lot of team building in it.
It did.
Between Wes and Jen. Which I don't know if I liked that at the time. But
I don't know.
But like the way it all played out, I really yeah. like.
Below that is a parting of ways.
I do like that they were just getting their asses beat by these evil Power Rangers.
That's true.
They were just hollow murder suits.
Yeah. That was pretty great. Yeah, because it was like the whole time. Like they didn't do anything to them until like Jen knocked hers away and then it still went back to kill her.
Yeah, she had to shoot her into the portal like while being held down yeah. by an evil Power Ranger.
Yeah, that was dope. Okay, so under that is Parting of Ways, which I believe is the one where Wes is like, I gotta do my own thing, Dad, and then leaves.
Is that the one where he makes his dad donate like a lot of money to charity? And then dips.
I think that is...
Or is that Worlds Apart?
That's Worlds Apart.
Okay. A Parting of Ways is where he jumps off the balcony? Or is that also Worlds Apart? I don't think I know what happens in A Parting of Ways.
I'm going to look at the Wikipedia article, because now they have very detailed descriptions. Parting of Ways... Okay, so Parting of Ways is the one where Wes is like, Dad, you donated all this money. See you later. I got to do my own thing. Worlds Apart is where he finds out that Wes is the Red Ranger because of the broken helmet.
Okay, that makes sense why Worlds Apart is so much higher then.
Yeah, so I think
I like this better than A Parting of
yeah,
Ways.
Yeah, same. So under Trust and Triumph, above Parting of Ways, coming in, the new number 10, Lovestruck Rangers. All right, that's going to do it for us for today. We will see you on Friday for Full Exposure, which sounds... like a mid-2000s Cinemax softcore porn.
Sounds like Papa Haim's gonna hate this
He's
one.
He's gonna hate it.
Sounds like there might be a kiss in it.
And that's gonna be on Monday. But until then,
may the power protect you.
Barracuda.
Just go.